Alumni News, Volume 30, Number 4. Pete Berg, Kelly Egan, Sherry Owen, and Teresa Stern, editors. Audio version voiced by Cliff Hahn at Cliff Hahn Sound. We love your participation in this newsletter. Send submissions to the editor via phone, mail, or email. asalger@guidedogs.com or alumninews@guidedogs.com. Alumni Association Mission Statement. The Alumni Association will support the vision of GDB using our power of partnering to improve quality of life by building a strong, sustainable community of support among our alumni. We'll work to support alumni success with their guide in building relationships with others and actively participating in the greater GDB community. Alumni Association Board of Directors Mission Statement. Connecting our community through leadership, advocacy, communication, and outreach. Alumni News is available electronically in Braille upon request and on audio CD upon request. The audio version of this newsletter and Guide Dog News can be found on our website, guidedogs.com. If you are able to access email and would like future issues sent to you electronically, please let Amy Salger know at asalger@guidedogs.com. Email allows us to get the news to you in a timely manner and is easy on the environment. Alumni News is now available as a podcast. You can find it at Apple Podcasts. Search for Alumni Updates. Please note that the recording of the newsletter takes some time, so issues will post at a later date than the email version. We'd like to send our very special thanks to all of our alumni who, by their efforts and their examples, refer others to our program. Interested in a career with GDB? Check out our opportunities at guidedogs.com/careers. Browse all of GDB's newsletters, including back issues of Alumni News, at guidedogs.com/news. Table of Contents from your Alumni Association. Seeking Candidates for the Alumni Association Board by Amy Salger. Rideshare Survey Coming Your Way by Pete Berg. Spring Newsletter Theme by Pete Berg. Ingratitude by Maya Scott. Winter Mindfulness. Happy Holidays, Healthy Hounds by Dr. Kate Kuzminski. Wag Plenty and Other Wellness Wisdom from Our Dogs by Maya Scott. Science Says Don't Stress the Small Stuff by Sherry Owen. Walking in a Winter Wonderland by Sylvia Jonas. Warming Up for Winter, Pete's Playlist by Pete Berg. A Season for Snacking, Martinez's Winter Lemon Cookies for Humans by Sherry Owen. Martinez's Honey Carrot Biscuits for Dogs by Sherry Owen. Storytime, Martinez and Friends Winter Wonderland Adventure by Sherry Owen. In Our Own Words, A Poem, A Song by Carl Belknap. The Solace of a Saint, My First Year with a Loving Labrador by Rihanna McGregor Heiser. Chapter Chat, Veterans Corner by Sherry Owen. Alumni Bulletin Board, In Memoriam, In Memory, In Tribute. Announcements. Alumni Association Board of Directors. Roster of GDB Alumni Chapters. From your Alumni Association, Seeking Candidates for the Alumni Association Board of Directors by Amy Salger with Marsala. Attention all GDB alumni in Canada, USA, and beyond. The GDB Alumni Association Board of Directors, the AA Board, announces the open season for applications to the AA Board. We are soliciting for volunteers who are hardworking, dedicated, and focused, and can help to represent the diverse range of views and experiences of GDB alumni. More information about the AA Board and instructions on how to be considered for an open position on the board is outlined below. If you have any questions, please direct them to Amy Salger, Nominations Committee Chair, at asalger@guidedogs.com or by phone at 319-350-1049. Please note, we will begin accepting applications on February 1, 2023, and the deadline to apply is February 15, February 2023. I look forward to hearing from you. Responsibilities of Directors of the GDB Alumni Association Board. In support of our mission, each board member is expected to serve on several project teams and complete various tasks independently outside of meetings. The project teams vary dependent on visions of the AA Board. Each project team identifies and works to achieve goals within the AA Board's focus. Board meetings are typically held on Saturday morning, approximately 4 times a year. Project team meetings vary in frequency, days, and times, but are scheduled among those members according to their schedules as much as possible. Most of these are held via conference call or Zoom, but once or twice a year there will be an in-person meeting at the San Rafael or Oregon campus. Most communication is done by email and phone. Transportation and accommodation costs for in-person meetings are covered by GDB. Board members are elected to serve a 3-year term, which may be renewed for a second 3-year term with board approval. We work hard, but we have a terrific time doing it. Eligibility. Any GDB graduate with at least 2 years' experience working a guide dog is eligible to apply. Open period for applications. Applications will be accepted from February 1st through February 15th, 2023. Any application received after February 15th will not be considered. How to apply. In an email, send a resume and audio or video recording or file containing a brief description of yourself and your reasons for applying to the board. Audio or video files should not exceed 1 minute in length. For the subject line of the email, use 2023 AAB app. Submit your resume and audio or video file as 2 separate attachments, or you can send 1 file for the resume and a web link for the audio or video. Each file should be titled with your name and the type of information it contains. For example, if your name is Jane Smith, your attached documents would be titled Smith, Jane, Resume, and Smith, Jane, Video. Send your application to Nominations Committee Chair Amy Salger at asalger@guidedogs.com and to Teresa Stern at tstern@guidedogs.com. Note, if you have applied for a position on the board in the past and were not selected, we encourage you to apply again. Each year we receive many outstanding applications for a limited number of open positions. Please apply again if you are interested. Rideshare survey coming your way by Pete Berg with Lloyd. Trip denials due to the presence of a guide dog are a significant issue impacting many GDB handlers. The GDB Alumni Association Board will be launching a survey in 2023 to understand rideshare usage by GDB handlers. The data from the survey may be used going forward to address the issue and provide advocacy assistance. The survey is intended to gather baseline data on riders, demographics, location, etc., to capture information on frequency of usage, and measure frequency of ride denials. An email will be sent to all graduates when the survey is available in February 2023. Stay tuned. Spring edition of Alumni News. We need your participation. Spring newsletter theme. The theme for the Spring Alumni Newsletter is New Beginnings, and the editors are seeking your input and contributions. If you have ideas for articles, thoughts about what New Beginnings means to you, and/or suggestions for self-improvement and awareness, please let us know. This newsletter is for you, and we need and value input from GDB graduates. Please send your ideas and thoughts to alumninews@guidedogs.com. Ingratitude by Maya Scott with Gleam. The Alumni Newsletter welcomes a new department to its regular offerings. Listed alongside the opportunity for us to honor our retired and past guides, we now open space in every forthcoming newsletter to honor the humans in our GDB community. If you want to give a shout-out to the raiser of your guide or canine buddy raiser, here's your chance. If you are just in class and feel inclined to send kudos to someone who made your stay on campus extra amazing, we'd love to hear. Or maybe your guide did some epic maneuvering through a trying environment and kept you feeling safe, even in foreign lands. How about a thumbs or paws up to the trainer who primed you and your dog for success? Likewise, if that cane is behaving nicely and not attempting to rearrange your innards, the floor is yours to say thanks to your OMI team. If you are feeling an attitude of gratitude and want to speak out about one of the amazing humans in our GDB community, please send us your sentiment in 100 words or less to alumninews@guidedogs.com. Please put the word gratitude in the subject line. Winter Mindfulness. Happy Holidays, Healthy Hounds by Dr. Kate Kuzminski, Medical Director, GDB. Happy Holidays, GDB Alumni. What a fabulous time to celebrate with family and friends and your guide dog. Along with the warmth of the season comes the safety risks that every December brings for dogs. A surefire way to ruin the holiday spirit is an emergency trip to the vet. To reduce the risk of this unpleasant adventure, Now is the time to take inventory of your home, consider your holiday plans, and identify what might be risky for your dog. As always, having your veterinarian's phone number and address posted in a visible place, as well as the local after-hours emergency clinic, shows excellent preparedness. Holiday safety tips. While delicious, a holiday meal is not something to share with your dog. Avoid a case of pancreatitis and keep the people food for you and your two-legged family. Similarly, sweets and adult holiday beverages can also be dangerous. Remember that chocolate and the sweetener xylitol can be toxic to dogs. So can grapes, raisins, and onions. Make sure all tasty morsels and unattended alcoholic beverages are placed out of your dog's reach, and keep that lid on the garbage can. Holiday plants such as amaryllis, holly, poinsettias, and the berries of mistletoe can be dangerous to your dog if ingested. Vomiting, diarrhea, incoordination, drooling, and even seizures are possible depending on the plant. Do your dog a favor and avoid these plants in your home this holiday. This is the season for candles. While beautiful, lit candles are a definite hazard when there are wagging tails around. Make sure candles are not down at dog level and that your dog is always supervised when in a room with candles burning. Ornaments are so pretty, but not if they are ingested. Broken ornaments can cause obvious damage to your dog's mouth and gastrointestinal tract. So can tinsel if swallowed. Try to avoid tinsel, lights, and intriguing ornaments, especially food-based ones, on the lower branches of Christmas trees. Potpourri is lovely to smell, and it can also be toxic to dogs if handled or ingested. Keep all essential oils and potpourri products out of your dog's reach. Child toys and small toy pieces can be exceptionally interesting to a dog. So can the batteries that are needed for our new devices and games. It's always best to ensure these items are not left on the ground. Taking a bite out of a battery can cause chemical burns to your dog's mouth. The holidays can be busy and overwhelming. Sometimes we all need a quiet place to retreat to when we need a rest from the fray. Having a comfy bed in a separate room might give your dog a welcomed respite. This is especially true on New Year's Eve, when revelers delight in fireworks and noisemakers. Sending you all the warmest wishes for a safe and peaceful holiday and a fabulous new year. Wag Plenty and Other Wellness Wisdom from Our Dogs by Maya Scott with Gleam. Many guide dog handlers and puppy raisers become veritable experts on all things dog. We learn what to do when their tummies are upset, how to spice up life when fun becomes scarce, and things that help de-stress during intense outings. It's one of the ways we keep them safe and happy that balances their keeping us safe and happy. However, many of us forget that nurturing our own moments of stress, doldrum, or unease directly affects that of our dogs. With that in mind, let's explore some ways we humans can stay warm and bright as the days grow darker and colder, at least on GDB's longitudes. Our dogs are smarter than we know, reading many aspects of our physical and emotional well-being through our breath, skin, voice, and of course through the harness handle. Consider, then, that the little things we do to listen to our own needs and care for ourselves also support the well-being of our dogs. If you are one who looks to a teacher, guru, mentor, or wise one for guidance on such matters, you can find one at your left side. Here are some simple intuitive wellness practices we can learn from our dogs along with some human variations to get you inspired. Sniff. Breathe deep the scents of the holiday. Our ancestors knew what they were doing. Are you one of those who associate the holidays with the warm smells of cedar, orange, clove, cinnamon, and rosemary with hints of mint and lemon? Many of these spices or essential oils can help boost your immune system, promote healthy digestion, reduce germs and bad bacteria, and uplift the spirit. On a cold, dark evening crowded into a small space with nominal opportunities to wander free, this is just what we all need now and then to sustain us through the fiercest throes of winter. Sip mint tea on those cold nights to warm your body and rid your mouth and airways of germs that might be thinking of making themselves at home in your body. If you're not a tea drinker, add a bit of lemon and mint to a pitcher of water. Add a couple of drops of pure essential oils to a tissue and place it near your pillow at bedtime. Some good immune-boosting oils include eucalyptus, oregano, myrrh, lemon, frankincense, ginger, peppermint, and cinnamon. If you have the actual herbs on hand, you can also make up a sachet by tucking them into an organza gift bag or loosely tying them into a handkerchief. Squeeze a fresh orange for that mimosa. Have some ginger in that bread. Be ample with that oregano in your sauce and cook with all those warming herbs. Play life as a game. We are taught to see training processes with our dogs as games complete with rewards and plenty of joy. Why not reward ourselves for little things in life by brightening things with a sense of play and reward? Play without a reason. Grab that tug and be an instigator, or grab a friend for a game of something without scheduling it. Make a mess, bake something, paint something, build something, or take those crafting supplies out of the dark corner of your closet so they are out and ready for you at a whim. Be shamelessly curious. Explore a place or thing fully. Ask lots of questions and learn about someone new, or take a thorough inventory of all your dog's physical quirks and asymmetries. Wag more, or embody an attitude of gratitude. Our dogs make a point of telling us when they're happy about something, even little things like a loving gaze or gentle pet while passing. Developing a gratitude practice can help train your heart and spirit to look to the good things when the mind enters darker places. There are many ways of maintaining a gratitude practice. Here are some ideas to inspire. Keep a gratitude journal that you can look back on when it feels like nothing is going your way. Keep a beaded bracelet or a bag of pebbles and pass them through your fingers as you list things you are grateful for on that day. Fingers, toes, and paws also work fabulously. Offer a daily post on social media to complete a 30 days of gratitude challenge. Flip upside down. Have you discovered your dog draped in what looks like restorative yoga poses, stretching luxuriously, or breaking into an unprovoked bout of zoomies? We know how well our dogs listen and respond to our bodies as we work that favorite route, and they are also exceptionally keen at listening to their own bodies as well. They don't schedule times to stretch, burn off a bit of energy, or catch a quick nap. They do it when they feel like it. We can easily follow their lead in this aspect of life as well. Stretch voluminously as you wake up in the morning. Stand up and stretch for a moment when the urge hits you. That spreadsheet will be there in 30 seconds when you get back to it, and you'll feel better. Take some deep breaths, sigh, and yawn when the urge arises. Your body may be craving an extra dose of oxygen. Get up and meander for a moment when you feel fidgety. Turn around 3 times before settling to sleep, or find your own ritual of choice that trains your body to know it's time to rest. Live in the moment. All those shouldas and couldas can build up in our minds, leaving us dwelling on the past. For others, a what-if lurks around every corner, turning the best weekend warrior into a weekend worrier, whose days off are filled with the fear of Monday. Now, our dogs, maybe they don't have room in their brains for these mental meanies because they have smaller brains than we do, or maybe they simply have a good leash on life. Either way, they only make room for now. And of course, cookies. There are many tools that can help enhance our connection with the present. Repeat a mantra. Whether you have learned them in your yoga or meditation practice, chant as part of your spiritual practice, or appreciate affirmations, many things can work as mantras. If you crave a bit of silliness or don't abide by Hail Marys or ums, try a favorite tongue twister. Say that 10 times really fast. Breathe. Our breath is an involuntary body function that we can also control and count. Try counting the length of your breaths, such as breathing in for 4 counts, holding for 2, releasing your breath for 8 counts, and holding again for 2. There are lots of variations out there to try, or create one of your own that works for you. Observe mindfully. As you walk or sit quietly, take note of all the sensory input you receive from around you and name it. Breeze, tree, child, dog, car, 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 bus, cookies. Acknowledging all that surrounds you will bring you into the moment. Science Says, Don't Stress the Small Stuff by Sherry Owen and Martinez. I recently came across an article by Susan Pinker that I thought other guide dog handlers might enjoy. Dogs can sniff out when a human is stressed. In a study published in late September in the journal PLOS-1, Ms. Clara Wilson, a researcher at the Animal Behavior Center at Queen's University Belfast, and colleagues tested whether dogs could dread and respond to our emotional states without the benefit of facial expression, tone of voice, or social context. The researchers trained 4 dogs to detect and react to the smell of human stress, depending on their sense of smell alone, to distinguish between a person's baseline scent and the unique cocktail of volatile organic compounds in their sweat and breath when feeling stressed out. Using food rewards, the researchers trained the dogs to distinguish between 3 gauze samples. One was neutral, containing no human scent. The second had been breathed on and then wiped across the back of the neck of one of the 36 human participants at a moment when they felt completely relaxed. The third set of sweat and breath samples was taken before and after the participant completed an arithmetic task under time pressure. The human's heart rate and blood pressure were monitored to confirm that the smell of the gauze was indeed a sign of stress. The goal was to teach the dog to pick out the stress sample from a set of 3 swatches and indicate it by sitting in front of that sample, alert and attentive. To avoid giving the dog any inadvertent visual or social cues, each swatch was presented behind a grill so it couldn't be seen or touched, and no humans were present during the test. If the dog could pick out the stress sample from the distractors, he or she got a food reward. The results were overwhelming. The test confirmed that the dogs can smell psychological states as well as physical ones. On average, the 4 dogs picked out the stress gauze sample 94% of the time, with individual dogs ranging between a 90 to 97% accuracy. Ms. Wilson concludes, "There's a smell to stress. All the more reason to keep calm and winter on, not just for your health, but for that of your guide." Walking in a Winter Wonderland by Sylvia Jonas with Hildy. Do you feel like each winter stretches just a little longer? Well, I have something that you can put on your calendar to look forward to and to break up that long winter. Come join me and many awesome South Dakotans at the 43rd Annual Black Hills Ski for Light, BHSFL, in Deadwood, South Dakota. This event is happening from January 22nd to the 26th. You'll have the opportunity to try downhill skiing, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, and snowmobiling. BHSFL provides volunteer guides to help you experience all or some of these activities. You're probably asking what your dog will be doing while you're out on the trails. If you're downhilling, your dog will be relaxing in the lodge and being looked after by some friendly volunteers. If cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, Juno will be relaxing in the warming tent or being walked by some young, friendly, awesome volunteers. The cost of this event is $250 a person if sharing a room, or $400 for a private room. What's covered? Round-trip transportation from the Rapid City Airport, 5 nights hotel stay, 4 lunches, 2 dinners, and equipment rentals. I've been attending this event for 10 years and I've always had a great time. My activity of choice is snowshoeing. I live in a city of millions, and it's just so incredible to walk through the woods and to hear just the wind through the trees and my footfalls. I do take my dog Hildy along sometimes, and she thinks it's the greatest thing to hop and skip through the snow. I did a presentation on this event at the GDB Alumni Reunion on October 22nd. At the presentation, I had Ray Bubb, president of the BHSFL, and Kathleen Sinor, my guide dog's puppy raiser, speaking as well. Bubba did a great job of giving some history of the organization from its start in the late 1970s and talked about some of the evening activities, like karaoke, dancing, and driving ice bumper cars. Kathleen came to South Dakota as a volunteer and guided on the downhill slide. She thought it was the most amazing thing. She also enjoyed seeing Hildy work as a guide and thought it was incredible how she ignored her totally. They did get some playtime together. Equipment you should consider for your dog when out in freezing temps are a warm coat and some sort of boot. Items that have worked for my dogs now that we live through 5 months of winter are paws for their paws. These are balloon-like rubber socks that stretch over nails and paws and keep salt and snow away. For a coat, I like the Powder Hound coat by Ruffwear. It is quilted on top and has a quick dry fleece bottom. Learn about it at ruffwear.com. That's ruffwear.com/products/powder-hound-jacket. I was able to offer a lucky winner at the presentation a Powder Hound coat thanks to Greg Freiberg at Ruffwear. Thank you, Greg, and congratulations to Robin Hoy and her guide, Cruiser, the winners. If anyone would like more information about the Black Hills Ski for Light, you can send an email to bhskiforlight@gmail.com or to me at sjonas213@gmail.com. I hope to see you in Deadwood. Warming Up for Winter, Pete's Playlist by Pete Berg with Lloyd. To get you into the winter mindset, here are some suggestions for your playlist. Holiday Songs, Jingle Bells Boogie by Jingle Dogs, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow by Dean Martin, The Hanukkah Song, Adam Sandler, Run Rudolph Run by Chuck Berry, Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight by The Ramones, Sleigh Ride, Pentatonix, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys, Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus by the Jackson 5, All I Want for Christmas is You, Mariah Carey, 2,000 Miles, The Pretenders, Christmas Song by Alvin and the Chipmunks, Father Christmas by the Kinks, Winter Wonderland, Andy Williams, Where Are You Christmas by Faith Hill, Christmas Baby Please Come Home from U2, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch by Thurl Ravenscroft, I'm Gettin' Nuttin' for Christmas by the Peter Pan Singers, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, Gayla Peavy, The 12 Pains of Christmas from Bob Rivers, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee, and for traditional holiday songs, there's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from Dean Martin, White Christmas, Bing Crosby, Silver Bells from Burl Ives, Joy to the World, Nat King Cole, O Holy Night, Perry Como, Frosty the Snowman, Jimmy Durante, and some holiday movies, Elf, National Lampoon's Christmas, Scrooged, The Grinch, and Home Alone. And some traditional holiday movies include How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss, A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Charlie Brown's Christmas, Frosty the Snowman, Miracle on 34th Street, All I Want for Christmas, A Very Brady Christmas, and A Christmas Carol. A Season for Snacking, Martinez's Winter Lemon Cookies for Humans by Sherry Owens with Martinez. Martinez loves this recipe for humans. Citrus has been shown to boost our moods and is a great source of vitamin C. So here we go. Ingredients. 2 cups of all-purpose flour. 3 tablespoons of cornstarch. 1/4 teaspoon of salt. 1 cup of unsalted butter at room temperature. 2/3 cup of powdered sugar. 4 teaspoons of lemon zest, from about 2 medium lemons. 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, either fresh from lemons or from a bottle. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 3/4 cup of finely chopped pecans, or no nuts if you don't want them or have a nut allergy, 1.5 cups of powdered sugar for the icing, and if you don't like icing, you don't need this. Instructions. Mix your dry ingredients of flour, cornstarch, and salt in a mixing bowl. In a separate bowl, mix the butter until it's creamy. I'd advise using an electric mixer for this. This took us about a minute. Then blend in your 2/3 cup of powdered sugar, the lemon zest, lemon juice, and vanilla extract. I love that lemon smell. Now take your other bowl of dry ingredients and combine it into the bowl with your wet ingredients. Here's where you stir in your nuts if you want to. Stir both ingredients together until combined, and then cover the bowl with plastic and put it in the refrigerator to chill your dough for 30 to 45 minutes. When you put your dough to chill in the refrigerator, preheat your oven to 350 degrees. When your dough is done chilling, remove from the refrigerator and scoop out 1 tablespoon at a time and roll into a ball. Place the balls on a cookie sheet lined with parchment paper or on a silicone baking sheet and space them about 2 to 3 inches apart. Bake for 13 to 15 minutes. Remove them from the oven and allow them to cool for 10 minutes until they are still slightly warm. If you want, this is when you sprinkle on your powdered sugar, or you can roll the cookies in the powdered sugar. Also, when the cookies have completely cooled, I give them one more roll in the powdered sugar. Delicious! Martinez's Carrot and Honey Holiday Biscuit Treats by Sherry Owen with Martinez. Martinez highly recommends these delicious biscuits for himself and all his guide dog friends, and they're so easy to make. Ingredients: 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 eggs, 3 cups of freshly grated carrots, or 25 ounces of all-natural carrot baby food, and 2 tablespoons of raw honey. Directions: preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Cover a baking sheet with parchment paper, a silicone cooking sheet, or spray nonstick cooking spray. While your oven is preheating, mix all of the ingredients together until they have a smooth consistency. Roll out the dough and use your favorite cookie cutter to cut the cookies. I have a small-sized dog bone that we use. Bake for 18 to 20 minutes and get ready for a happy dog. Story Time: Martinez and Friends Winter Wonderland Adventure by Sherry Owen. Maria fluttered her wings outside while Martinez stood watching as Jenny lugged 2 suitcases down the staircase, while Sherry stood by with Martinez, reminding Jenny of what to bring and what not to bring, even though the suitcases were already packed and on their way to the car. Martinez caught sight of Maria through the screen door and exchanged a meaningful glance with her. "Such chaos," he huffed good-naturedly. "Where are they going?" Maria hissed. "Why do they need hats and scarves?" Martinez shrugged his shoulders, eyeing a brand new winter sweater his person had carefully folded up on the couch next to some sparkly paper. Its tags were still attached. He supposed this was his Christmas gift. Sweaters were okay, but he preferred high-value treats. Meaty, umami flavors, fruit flavors, and peanut butter. Lots of peanut butter. His eyes glazed over, and he forgot all about the suitcases. As Ralph always does, he appeared at the door, loudly chewing, holding a flower bulb as he bit into it. "I don't know why birds like this kind of stuff. It's so boring. Hey, Martinez, there's a piece of something on the floor. Can you go grab that for me? I'm starving." Martinez looked over and saw a piece of crust on the floor. He looked back at Ralph, both cheeks bursting at the seams. "No way, Ralph." Sherry interrupted, tugging on Martinez's leash. "Come, Martinez." Martinez started to walk the opposite direction from Ralph. Ralph panicked. "Where are you going, Martinez? Maria, are you going with them?" Maria replied, "I can't, Ralph. I have babies to feed." In the distance, you could hear high-pitched cries of tiny baby hummingbirds. Ralph spit out the fibrous bulb and hollered, "Martinez, I'll meet you in the garage." He scurried through the yard, out to the side yard, and seconds before the last piece of luggage was secured in the trunk, Ralph snuck in, diving in between 2 comfy hats and a scarf. Martinez looked back, shaking his head. "You're nuts, you know. Be quiet back there." The car ride was long. Too long. Ralph kept popping his head out and whispering to Martinez, "Are we there yet?" Martinez continuously shushed him. "No, we'll get there when we get there." "Do you know where we're going?" Ralph asked. Martinez sniffed, "Nope." The car climbed, elevating through beautiful mountains, up and up and up. Then suddenly they stopped. Martinez bolted upright, his ears tilting forward toward the window, listening intently. He inhaled sharply. Ralph said anxiously, "What is it? What? What? Is there food? Do you smell food? Like pizza? Oh, I love pizza crusts with just a smear of tomato sauce and hard dried cheese. And pepperoni. I really like pepperoni. Do you like pepperoni, Martinez?" Martinez ignored Ralph. Truth was, he didn't know what pepperoni was, or pizza for that matter. He pressed his nose to the window. It seemed to be another universe. There was no green. Everything was covered in white, with tips of brown and green from the trees peeking through. The white sparkled as the sun's rays glinted off the unbroken surface. The sun was so bright. He squinted, pulling back. He carefully turned about on the seat and pressed his nose against the other window. His nose made marks as he inhaled deeply, again and again. He smelled smoke. There, he saw a house made of logs, with smoke coming out of the chimney, drifting up toward the sky, and finally dissipating. Come on, man, what's out there? Ralph whined. Martinez replied slowly. It's beautiful. He paused. It's like a sea of milk. Ralph moaned a little. Ooh, I've dreamed of this. Ralph pictured himself floating on a raft in a pool of milk, sipping on a pina colada. Martinez noticed people running out of the house toward the car. The outline of a cat appeared in the large picture window. Ralph, you better get ready. Here they come. They? Who's they? Ralph was still in his reverie. He had finished his drink and dipped his glass into the pool, refilling it with milk. Ralph! Martinez nudged him impatiently with his nose. Ralph opened one eye. He peeked out of the side window and gasped when he saw the cat.
Ah!
He yelped. The milk dreams vanished, and he dove headfirst into the hat, cowering in fear. How quickly life changes on a dime, Martinez thought. Hi, you made it. How was your drive? You must be freezing. Let me see that beautiful dog. We have so much food. Wait until you see my new dentures. These were some of the greetings that took place upon arrival, and quite frankly, it was all extremely overwhelming. Martinez noticed Sherry inhaling a deep breath and exhaling very slowly. She normally didn't breathe like that, so he stuck his nose up in the air and smelled. Oh, my person is stressed, he thought. Before Martinez could finish his thought, the passenger car door opened from the outside. Suddenly, some funny-looking man was squinting at him with his hand out. There's the boy, the stranger exclaimed. Martinez sat still, not budging, staring down this funny old man. Sherry got out of the car and said gently, Yes, that's him, but you have to give us room to get out of the car and give him some space, and then you can say hello. Martinez looked at him quizzically because the man had a cane, but not a white cane. Sherry grabbed Martinez's leash and he jumped out of the car, waiting for his harness. Martinez landed in the milk and quickly shook his paws. Well, that's cold, he thought. He picked up one paw and then another, hopping from foot to foot, not knowing what the snow was. Sherry smiled and chuckled softly to herself. She gently rubbed his head and said, It's okay, boy. It's just snow. You'll learn to love it later. Martinez lifted his head to embrace Sherry's hand and was calmed. Some younger men removed the luggage very quickly from the back, with Ralph hanging on for dear life, second-guessing his quest for tasty food. His body bobbed up and down as the young men swung the luggage, lifting it onto one shoulder and the other dragging the wheels in the thick snow. The wooden door opened wide, and the light filtered into the evergreen-scented evening. The first thing Sherry noticed upon walking in was the sharp smell of pine perfuming the air. She inhaled deeply, loving it. A huge Christmas tree filled the corner of the great room with tinsel, bulbs, popcorn strings, and every accoutrement one could imagine. Martinez glanced over and put his nose in the air. Oh, popcorn! His mouth started to water. Memories of being at the movies bubbled up as he waited patiently for Sherry to drop a piece of popcorn. Sherry bent down and gave Martinez a big kiss and said, I know what you're thinking. I smell it too. But not this popcorn, buddy. It's too dangerous. You stay away from that sharp and pointy tree. The older gentleman tried to persuade Sherry to let Martinez off the leash, but she respectfully declined, not wanting to take the chance of an ornament being shattered with one swish of his tail, or something sharp landing on the floor and slicing Martinez's paw. Sherry rubbed Martinez's ear, calming herself. She opened her book bag and retrieved the lavender oil she had brought and rubbed a dab on her hands and smelled it. Then she lowered her open hands before Martinez for him to smell. I love that smell. Martinez breathed, sniffing again and again, until he sneezed. Ralph was startled by Martinez's sneeze. He leapt out of the pile of hats and scarves. With his little nose in the air twitching, he inched toward the kitchen, hugging the baseboards. Oh, Martinez, I think that's turkey I smell. But wait, Martinez, where's that cat, my friend? Ralph shrank into the corner of the living room when he heard a tiny tinkling laugh like crystals on a chandelier. He turned around. The cat blinked at him with her wide green eyes, seated calmly on her haunches. She flicked her tail and blinked again. Ralph froze. He thought he was a goner. He really did. Then the cat spoke in her tinkly voice. Don't worry. I'm not going to eat you, or hurt you, or kill you. I find you utterly amusing, darling. and, must I say, even a little bit charming. Ralph couldn't speak, silenced by his fear. I'm Violet. What is your name, darling? He gulped and squeaked. It was the first time in his life he didn't feel hungry. Ralph, he whispered. Violet purred. Martinez kept close to his person. He sensed that she was stressed, which in turn made him even more aware of what was happening. Martinez noticed there were so many people, people everywhere, lots of loud talking, high-pitched peals of laughter, ice cubes clinking in drink glasses, a cocktail shaker shaking, and smooth jazz on the stereo. He wasn't sure he liked holiday parties. He nudged Sherry's hand, and she put her hand on Martinez's upper nose and rubbed the bone between his eyes. Martinez sensed her stress, too. He asked himself, maybe if I nudge her again, she'll ask me if I want to go outside. Martinez nudged Sherry again, and she quickly responded as he had hoped. They were like twins, speaking the same language. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. You need to go outside. Let's go out. Without waiting for a command, Martinez surged toward the big wooden front door that they'd entered only a little over an hour ago. Ralph wistfully watched them leave, but was trapped. In the corner of the room behind the Christmas tree, Ralph was literally backed into a corner. Violet relaxed onto all fours, settling in for a long chat. Here he was at a party talking to a cat, no food in sight, and not quite trusting this Violet's intentions. She is trying to get me alone, he thought. Never. The big wood door opened and closed behind Martinez and Sherry. It was finally quiet. Sherry exhaled deeply, not knowing she had been holding her breath. A woman's voice spoke to Sherry from the side and in a very kind voice directed her. There's a fenced-in area straight ahead. Can I take you there? I'll stand with you if you'd like so your boy can play. Nothing like a romp in the snow. Sherry was grateful. That would be lovely. Thank you. I think that was really overwhelming in there for him. Martinez smiled. She understood perfectly how he felt. They all walked to a fenced-in area, snow crunching under their feet. Martinez had his snow boots on. The air was crisp and clean. An owl hooted somewhere above them, likely perched on a high-up branch. The kind woman opened the gate and they entered, the fence closing and latching behind them. Sherry took Martinez off his harness and leash. She encouraged him. Go on, go play. This is snow. Martinez was tentative, then suddenly giddy with his newfound freedom. Like a colt in a pen, he ran as fast as he could to the other side of the fence and tried to lick the snow off a fence post. He ran back to Sherry and suddenly panicked. Oh no, oh no, I can't stop. What's happening? His feet skidded. Martinez slid, barely skimming Sherry, but it was enough to push her over right into a heap of snow. She laughed heartily. In the thick snow, Sherry lay on her back, slowly realizing the gift that she had. Martinez hovering over her, panting with his tongue out, waiting for her to get up. Sherry continued to lay, gloriously absorbing the silence and the pine smells and the wintry wonderland around her. Without a care in the world, she moved her legs and arms back and forth, starting to make a snow angel. She encouraged Martinez. I'm fine, buddy. I'm more than fine. And you are, too. Go run. Go run. She breathed in the cold, drunk on the night air, with Martinez running around her in circles. Back inside, Jenny realized she didn't see Martinez or Sherry. A light panic washed over her, and she put her drink down, and she began in earnest to search the unfamiliar home, peeking around corners, and at one point, opening the pantry off the kitchen. They were nowhere to be found. Jenny put her coat on and opened the large wooden front door. As soon as the door creaked, Ralph shot out of the tree, flinging himself toward his path of escape. Jenny gazed out into the snowy darkness. Even with the porch lights blazing, she still didn't see Sherry or Martinez. Sherry, are you out here? She shouted, rather hoarsely. Ralph snuck out the front door. She didn't notice him creep around her feet. She listened intently. Finally, she heard a faint reply. Hey, Jen, we're over here. Jenny walked completely outside and shut the door. Where are you? She called. Sherry lay face up in the snow, over by the property's fence. She called out again, listening for Jenny's footsteps. Over here. Jenny tentatively crunched in the snow. That's it. Keep coming. Toward the fence. Jenny continued to walk gingerly in her suede boots. These were not true snow boots. She suddenly saw movement. Martinez, furiously wagging his tail, covered in snow. Then Sherry came into view. She was laying on the ground. To hell with the boots, Jenny thought. She began running, shouting, "I'm coming! What's wrong? Are you okay?" Martinez knew what was going to happen. He thought to himself, "Don't do it. She's in a party dress." Jenny rushed toward them, and Martinez deftly hopped away. As soon as she got close, Sherry flailed her arms above, catching Jenny by the leg and pulling her down in the snow. Jenny squealed, taken by surprise. "Oh my gosh, my dress!" Martinez ran over, tail wagging furiously, licking both of them. "Yes, I know, your dress. But listen." Jenny got quiet. After a pause, she answered, "I don't hear anything." Sherry replied, "I do. I hear something." "What?" "I hear a Christmas miracle panting in my ear." Martinez teared up and lay down in the snow, putting his head on Sherry's chest and his paw on Jenny. Sherry stroked Martinez's face and said tenderly, "You are the most wonderful part of winter, Martinez." In Our Own Words, creative submissions from the GDB alumni community. A poem, a song, by Carl Belknap. Editor's note, Carl submitted this during the virtual alumni reunion. He was thinking it would make a great song as well. He wrote the poem with the John Denver song, For Baby, For Bobby, in mind. I walked in the rain by your side, your harness handle steady in my hand. In class I've tried so hard to understand. I love you more than anybody can. The instructors were so kind and helpful, teaching us the footwork and commands. After 1 week, we are inseparable, with loving paws and hands. On shopping trips you led me through the streets. On buses and the BART train we did ride. The happy wagging of your tail brings joy to me. I'm so pleased to have you here by my side. Now here we are at graduation, basking in the joy of this day. Soon we'll go home, just you and I. Together we will stay. The Solace of a Saint, My First Year with a Loving Labrador, by Rihanna McGregor Heiser, with Saint. My faith teaches that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I have never felt God's goodness so deeply than with the gift of my guide dog, Saint. From the moment I got called to training last November on GDB's Oregon campus, I felt a simultaneous excitement and terror. My first guide dog, who I received from a different school, retired at the age of 3 earlier that year, after only 2 years of work. Our goodbye was devastating, and I was left with such an emptiness in my home and my heart after he went back to his puppy raisers. How could I love another dog as much as I'd loved him? But even more than that, what if I loved another and I had to say goodbye again so soon? But I discovered that when Saint came wiggling into my room, it was easy to love again. I didn't know then how the coming year would draw us closer than I ever thought possible. I was in the chaotic midst of wedding planning while I trained with Saint, and on drives to and from the Gresham Lounge, I chatted with my instructor, also engaged, about our prospective wedding plans. I ate amazing food, and lots of it, and I was bonding with my boy. Things were going famously. My mid-training meeting had gone off without a hitch. Saint would be coming home with me. But by Tuesday of the second week, my instructors and I were considering switching me to a different dog. Saint's pace wasn't what it had been, and since pace was a contributing factor in the issues with my previous guide, we needed to think carefully. The next morning, I did walk a route with another dog, and on the drive back to campus, I felt torn and conflicted. My mind and my heart were pulling me in opposite directions, and I desperately needed them to come together. Saint was my baby, but I needed a guide dog, and if he wasn't the right fit, then I had to take a different step. But I was lost and directionless, and didn't know which step to take. Seeing my distress, my instructor allowed me one final walk with Saint to help me make my decision. So I asked God, if I'm going to keep Saint or switch to another, I need to know on this walk. Make it obvious. He did, and we know what answer came. The peace I felt was overflowing, but it was a stark reminder not to take anything for granted. I held Saint so close that night, and I knew our life together would be worth it, no matter what came. 4 months after returning home, I got married, and Saint and I moved into my husband's apartment, an hour's drive away from mine. I didn't fully move in, though. Physically, I left boxes packed because we'd already signed the lease for a new home in a neighboring city that was much safer than this one. But emotionally, I was confused. Becoming a wife was the fulfillment of a lifelong dream, but it came with adjustments I hadn't anticipated. During those 6 weeks, I never ventured out alone. While my husband worked 5 minutes down the road, Saint and I stayed inside, afraid of who or what we might encounter if we left the house alone. I felt intense guilt for being given such a beautiful, affectionate, and driven guide dog, only to stay in the house. In those moments, I told myself that this was not forever, that things would get better, that we'd have the life, free, independent, and safe, that I'd always planned for us. Once we moved into our new 2-bedroom condo that backed onto the forest and overlooked the creek, I expected the anxiety of our former surroundings to disappear. But it didn't. It took weeks to feel confident walking the streets alone and believe that I was safe. My first solo walk to the coffee shop resulted in a panic attack, and that wasn't the only one. But through every anxiety and every shaky breath, I could hear Saint, in his voice that's eerily similar to Roger Rabbit, say, "It's okay, Mom. I got this." He was there when I was hospitalized for bradycardia a week before moving to our new home. He was there through the blood tests, the scans, the unanswered questions, and the ongoing battle with my health. When I get scared and wonder what will happen to me and us, I stroke his ears and watch him drift off to sleep and wait for the slight wag of his tail even in slumber. He's been with me through the uncertainty of my husband's work and the ever-changing economic scene. As my husband looks for a new job and I continue to search for ways to contribute financially to my family, Saint has been by my side, a reassuring presence that we will be okay and that God is in ultimate control. But where Saint excels most, other than his fantastic guiding, is his very evident love for me and the indescribable comfort that brings. Above the anxieties of learning new routes or the unanswered health questions is the deep loneliness I face every morning when my husband leaves for work and I have no friends to call in this new town. My hours are spent writing, drinking coffee, and enjoying quality time with my sweet boy. Knowing he is never without a wag or a kiss, always up for a toss of his squeaky dinosaur or an old-fashioned cuddle on the bed with the fuzzy blanket and pillow at his insistence, is enough for me to know that I'm not alone. I am enough, and I am worthy of love. And Saint shows me this unconditional, unchanging love each time I reach for him in the scary moments. Aren't dogs amazing? In a year that has brought the most wonderful changes and some of the most challenging, Saint has been my fluffy, waggy, loving, safe place. Through all that has happened and all that will happen throughout our life together, I am beyond thankful for the love of the yellow lab who is lying next to me as I write this. I know he will be with me whatever comes, and I have his wags and love within reach whenever I need it. Happy 1-year anniversary, Saint. Love you forever. Rihanna McGregor Heiser is a blind blogger, accessibility enthusiast, and guide dog mom impassioned to create the world she longs to live in. Read her perspective about life with a disability on her blog at notyourblindwriter.ca. Chapter Chat, Veterans Corner by Sherry Owen and Martinez. Hi, veterans. In our Veterans Corner this newsletter, Martinez and I wanted to wish you all a very happy holiday. I also wanted to alert you all that our Veterans Chapter meeting date and time has changed. We are now meeting on the third Monday of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, so our next meeting will be on December 19, 2022. If you have any questions or want the Zoom link and OneTap Mobile, please feel free to reach out to me. You are all welcome to join us in the Veterans Chapter. Alumni Bulletin Board, a request from a fellow GDB alum. My name is Yvonne. I am a GDB grad with Guide Tippy, a small high-energy black lab, and I need your help. I am working on a master's degree in Johns Hopkins Liberal Arts program, and am currently investigating how characters with visual impairments, as depicted and portrayed in film and television, affect how audiences then see, think about, and interact with us in real life. After my thesis project, I would like to expand this to include visually impaired characters in all storytelling mediums, not just those on a screen, but I have to start smaller than that for my current project. I used to be a children's teacher in New York City, and many of my students took to calling me Daredevil. Conversely, I had people on the bus tell me I wasn't really blind because my eyes aren't cloudy like in the movies. I am looking for your stories to add to mine in this conversation. I already know of a number of blind or visually impaired characters, both live action and animated, but I would love to know about any you know of that I may not, and what you think of those characters. Plus, I have a few questions. The more voices I can add to my research, the better. Do you think it's important to have visually impaired characters in stories? Why or why not? Does it matter if visually impaired characters are accurately represented? Why or why not? Do you think that seeing visually impaired characters affects the way sighted people interact with or speak to you? If so, is that good or bad, or both? Why? What is one thing you wish more people knew or understood about visual impairment or about being visually impaired? Is there anything else you think is important and would like to add? If you have anything you would like to say on any of this, please send it to me in whatever medium you prefer, written or recorded. Please send anything to my school email at yrieckh1@jh.edu. Thank you in advance for your time, thoughts, and consideration, and I look forward to hearing from you. In memoriam, in memory, in tribute. In memoriam, remembering alumni who have died. Nicole Kahn of South Euclid, Ohio, with female yellow lab guide, Phaedra. Alicia Auger of Anaheim, California, with female lab Golden Cross, Dutch. Marlene Dunaway of Davis, California, with female yellow lab guide, Lava. Michael Hansen of Collinsville, Oklahoma, with male black lab guide, Dennis. In memory, remembering guides who have died. Stockard, female yellow lab guide for Laurel Ann Wheeler of Norman, Oklahoma. Cassidy, female black lab guide for Maria Kovacs of Maple Ridge, British Columbia. Shelby, female black lab guide for Andrea Rossi of Calgary, Alberta. Ajax, male yellow lab guide for Holly Jensen of Clovis, California. Carlina, female black lab guide for Natalie Martiniello of St. Leonard, Quebec. Tahoe, female golden retriever guide for Elena Thomason of Citrus Heights, California. In tribute, honoring guides who have retired. Zoe, female yellow lab guide for Robin Hoy of Hopkins, Minnesota. Announcements. Gene Therapy Attitudes Survey. Amanda Shrewsbury and researchers from the Department of Pediatrics, Division of Genetic and Genomic Medicine at University of California, Irvine, are recruiting participants for a research study about attitudes towards gene therapy treatments among individuals with inherited retinal disorders, as well as their preferences for receiving information about these treatments in the future. This study may help us to better understand the viewpoints of individuals with inherited retinal disorders towards gene therapy treatments and their informational needs, which could inform future healthcare practices and availability of patient-centered educational information. You are eligible to participate in this study if you are at least 18 years of age or older, live in the United States, can complete the survey, and are 1. Diagnosed with an inherited retinal disorder, or 2. Are a caregiver of an individual diagnosed with an inherited retinal disorder. The study will take place online. Your participation could last between 10 and 35 minutes. As part of participating, you will be asked to answer questions regarding your attitudes towards gene therapy treatments, as well as your preference on receiving information about these treatments. If you participate, there is no anticipated direct benefit. If you are interested in participating in this study, please go to the following bit.ly URL link. Enter https://bit.ly/IRD survey. Please share this with anyone you think may be interested in participating. You may contact the lead researcher, Amanda Shrewsbury, at ashrewsb@hs.uci.edu or at telephone number 714-456-5837 if you have any questions. Notice of Digital Accessibility Settlement Concerning Octavia.com. A proposed settlement has been reached that would resolve the class action lawsuit Douglas versus Octavia LLC. The lawsuit alleges that Octavia LLC violated the Americans with Disabilities Act by failing to take the necessary steps to ensure its website does not discriminate against blind or visually disabled consumers who use screen reader auxiliary aids to access digital content. Under the settlement, Octavia LLC agrees to make its website, mobile app, and any new website or mobile app it develops or acquires accessible to screen reader users. For a more complete summary of the terms of the proposed settlement, please visit OctaviaADASettlement.com or contact Class Counsel at EastEndTrialGroup.com. This concludes the Winter 2022 edition of Alumni News, Volume 30, Number 4. Thanks for listening.